Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome back to Royals Weekly. I am Marcus Mead. This is my co-host, a very shiny Michael Mead. Mike, say hi.
I got my lighting director here working with my light to see if... The question is, can he make me look thinner just using light? And that's going to be a tough... That's a tough task for any human being at this point.
Yes, Mike is shiny because of a lighting situation, not because he sweats just from sitting. Anyway, welcome to this latest special episode where we're breaking down what we were seeing from the Royals in spring training today. This is our this will be our last sort of daily short episode for the spring training trip that we've made. Tomorrow we'll record what would normally be our weekly episode because we'll be spending Saturday and Sunday driving back to Kansas City. So Saturday morning, I guess, you'll get a really long episode from us, and then you won't get another episode from us for a little over a week. But it's been amazing being down here so far. We're going to go see a minor league game tomorrow, or we're going to try to if it doesn't rain on us. Hopefully it doesn't get rained out or anything. But let's talk about the Royals today because we finally broke our jinx, Mike. The first three games we went to while we were here, they lost. And then we went today thinking if they lose this one, we just can't go to another game again. They won today 6-0 against the, you know, defending NL champs, Arizona Diamondbacks. And it was mostly a major league lineup from the Diamondbacks today, a really good, impressive lineup. But that didn't stop Michael Wacha from straight up mowing them down for almost four innings, or 3 2/3 innings. He had 3 2/3 pitched, 2 hits, 2 walks, 4 strikeouts, and no runs. Mike, what are your thoughts on how Wacha looked out there today as we got to see him live?
Woo, he looked good. The guys we've been seeing recently, we've noted a dip in velocity for a lot of those guys, or even stuff to some degree. Michael Wacha did not look that way. His changeup today was devastating. I mean, it was a 70 or 65 grade pitch. It was unbelievable. He threw 3 consecutive changeups to a guy with the last name Thomas. I'm blanking on his first name. And Alec. The guy swung and missed, Alec Thomas. He swung and missed at every single one of them. 3 in a row. It was the only 3 pitches he saw at that at bat. It was that good today. The changeup was that good. His velocity looked pretty good. Some of the breaking pitches weren't maybe quite where he wants them to be, either the slider or the curveball, but it didn't really matter because he was on it today, and it was awesome to see everyone was on it. All the pitchers that came in did a great job today. So yeah, Michael Wacha, look for him on opening day.
Yeah, Michael Wacha looked really, really good. And part of that was just understanding what it means to limit the damage. There were a couple times where guys led off, I think, with like leadoff doubles, or he had somebody on base with no outs, and it didn't phase him. He wasn't up there like, you know, shaking in his boots or anything. He's done this a bunch of times. I remarked to a friend of ours who went to the game with us today, the one who's hosting us. I said to him, like, it's wild to watch a pitch and know that he and Seth Lugo can provide this type of steadying force to the Royals rotation where you just don't have this impending fear of a 6-run inning because you know they know how to like limit the damage to remain calm and just sort of, you know, throw strikes and get them to hit, put the ball in play. And maybe they earn a run or two by getting hits, but they're going to have to string a lot of hits together to get any sort of crooked number up there on the board. And so it was great to see Wacha sort of have that level of control today where it just looked like the game was always entirely in the palm of his hand. I really enjoyed that. That was great to watch. And as you said, the other pitchers in this game also pitched very well. Luis Sessa did well. Pennington did well. Dan Altavilla did well.
He let a couple guys on, but he did pretty good too.
Yeah, Eric Sarantola was a really nice surprise. They let him finish the game.
He looked really good.
And he went out and looked really, really good with a high 90s fastball and a curveball that was falling off the table. And so that was great to see as well.
Yeah, I think it was a slider from Sarantola, or somewhat of a slurvy curveball if it was, but it looked good too. He got 2 strikeouts right away to open the inning that he had. And it was later in the game, but that's what you want. I'd never seen him pitch live, and I was very impressed with Eric Sarantola.
Yeah, and so it was great to see nice outings from the pitchers after a few weak ones in our early days here in spring training. The hitters also did pretty well. They put up 6 runs today in a 6-0 effort, especially early on against the starter Thomas Henry that the Diamondbacks rolled out. They got to him with the help of some not great defense as well. But MJ Melendez continues to hit and continues to put together consistent at-bats. Mike, what did you see from him today? He went 1-for-3 with a walk and 2 RBI. What did you see from him that you really liked in this game today?
Yeah, that doesn't even say how good he looked at the plate. The first hit that he had, which I think was in the first inning, was just a rope down the it wasn't quite down the right field line, but it was hard enough hit that it was a double as well. And then it seemed like even a couple of one of the at-bats where he got out, he took it to a 3-2 count. He earned a walk. You know, he was really in control in a lot of those plate appearances, even the ones where he didn't end up having success. So that was great to see. That's so huge. If they get a year of really good contributions from MJ Melendez, that's going to make this lineup so much better. But we also saw great days from Prado again. We saw a good day from Freddie Fermin at the plate. You know, Bobby had two hits again. Drew Waters had two hits. Yeah. Yeah. And so it's really good to see.
Yeah. And I think it's important. I'm getting a text really quick that I shouldn't answer. It's important to note that MJ Melendez also looked pretty good in the outfield, I think, today. And so we saw him get a chance. He got 2 what I would call difficult chances today. One was very difficult. It was hit a deep fly ball. It was actually hit into foul territory. He was playing left field. And he gets really close to the wall, doesn't quite make the catch, but, you know, it was close. He got close to it. Good break on it. That was good. The other one was hit in between center and left. It was in the gap. And so he had to chase it down. And he did. He chased it down fairly well. He had to fight off the sun for another one that he played the sun very well and caught the ball. I was happy to see him move around the outfield. I think it was improved. Now, obviously, the sample size is way too small to say anything. But I'm always looking for what kind of breaks is MJ Melendez getting? What kind of angles is he taking and all that sort of thing? If we can get a better offense, or a better defense, just average defense from MJ Melendez. And as you mentioned, Mike, the offensive contributions that it looks like he might be able to provide that he provided in the second half of last year, that will go a long way towards making the Royals a more competitive offense and ultimately a more competitive team generally.
And by the way,
we did want to talk about,
real quick. May not be a bad idea to pick up that Bobby Witt Jr. MVP bet right now while you can, because the guy just keeps on hitting nonstop, and I'm excited to see how that translates into the regular season. But we've been to that was our 4th game. He's had a hit in every single one of those games, and most of them I feel like he's had multiple hits. So Bobby Witt Jr. looks like the superstar that we saw last year again, and so that was great.
Yeah, and Bobby just keeps performing constantly. So if that's a constant, that's great. We don't have to worry too much about that. And the pressure that he puts on defenses today, we saw he got an infield hit. You know, just that pressure his speed puts on the defense is really kind of game-changing in some ways. And so if he can keep doing that, if he can keep hitting with some power, ultimately that's only going to be a good thing at the top of their lineup. The question is, will that lineup be deep enough with guys like at the bottom, maybe, who knows, Nick Lofton, Kyle Isbell, you know, Drew Waters some days, Hunter Renfroe will probably be somewhere in the middle, but who knows? You know, it's hard to say. I don't think we have to worry too much about the top of the lineup with guys like Bobby Witt Jr. and Vinny Pascantino. It's the bottom of the lineup that you start asking questions about. But we'll see. That's sort of what the regular season will show us. I wanted to talk a little bit about Drew Waters and Garrett Hampson, because right now, while we were watching the game today, Mike and I are sitting there and we're sort of having a conversation about Drew Waters and Garrett Hampson and what Drew Waters playing really well might mean for Garrett Hampson. Garrett Hampson has not looked good offensively during the spring. That's just the reality. Drew Waters has looked very good in some ways, not so great in other ways, right? Like, basically, Drew Waters continues to strike out at roughly the rate that he did last year, which is too high. But when he's not striking out, he's hitting balls into gaps. And so that's really good. Mike, what are your thoughts on what we've seen from Drew Waters, what we saw from him today, and what it might mean for how the roster shapes out and what the Royals do with Garrett Hampson?
You're really going to get a great look at how much the Royals value defensive versatility, because you cannot say that Garrett Hampson has the offensive potential or maybe even the offensive ability of a Drew Waters at this point. I've seen no evidence of that. But Garrett Hampson has played a pretty good center field. He's has at least the ability to play shortstop, even if it's not a great shortstop. He plays second base. He can play third base. He can play left, right. And so if they really, really value that defensive versatility, Garrett Hampson is going to make this 26-man, and Drew Waters might not as a result. If they value the offense that Drew Waters can bring you, even yes, when he's still striking out too much, and that's what the Royals are really going to decide. They're going to decide either, hey, we're okay with the streakiness of a Drew Waters, who's going to have one great week and two or three bad weeks, or they think he's past that, or they're going to say, we're going to take the sure thing. We know Garrett Hampson can at least play defense, and whatever he gives us on offense is just gravy. That's what becomes the tough decision from the front office. I know which one I would prefer. I would probably go with the Drew Waters in that situation, because I feel like you have defensive versatility in Lofton and Garcia and Adam Frazier. I would probably release Garrett Hampson, which is, I think, what you have to do, because I don't think they have any, he has any options left. But it'll be up to what the front office actually values.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, releasing Garrett, the good news is releasing Garrett Hampson doesn't cost the team that much money. $2 million is really not that much for them. They spent a whole lot more this offseason. Releasing him, it wouldn't even really be admit making a mistake, because all you're really saying is, hey, we've just seen more growth from some of our guys than we thought we would see over the offseason, right? Like, maybe we see more growth in Drew Waters. Or really, this also was a conversation about Nick Lofton, right? Like, because Hampson plays so many different positions, it would take a couple of guys to sort of replace his defensive value, right? Because he is a pretty good defender in center. He can play shortstop, so on and so forth. If you decide to go with a Drew Waters instead, you're really deciding to go with a Nick Lofton and a Drew Waters instead. Because Lofton could play you third, could play you second, could play you first, could play you left field in a pinch probably. But nobody's going to give you that backup shortstop, but you already have Michael Garcia who can be that for you. And so I think that I'm on board with you. If somebody asked me, hey, what's more valuable, Nick Lofton, Andrew Waters, or just Garrett Hampson, right? Obviously, the flexibility of the additional roster spot is nice, but I believe much more in the offensive ability of Nick Lofton and Drew Waters than I believe in the offensive ability of Garrett Hampson. Now, I do wish that Drew Waters struck out maybe 25% of the time instead of 30% of the time. That's an important thing. I wish Nick Lofton took more walks. But ultimately, what I've seen from those two in spring training has been not just on the results level, the plate appearance level has been so much better than what I've seen from Garrett Hampson, who pretty much seemingly only provides defensive value. And I'm like, I want my guys to provide a little bit of offensive value as well, right?
I think offensive value is more valuable. I'm always going to err on that side and Drew Waters has shown, at least in the spring, the ability to hit the ball with a little bit of pop, and Lofton at times as well. So I'm waning on my liking of Garrett Hampson, just because we have guys that can do those other things. We've got guys that can play center. Drew Waters can play center. When Blanco comes back, he plays a good center field, hoping that he comes back. And maybe this says something about where Blanco is. We don't know, because we haven't heard anything. But it's going to be a tough decision for the Royals, and we're really going to get a look at what the front office is thinking.
Yeah, and here's the thing. This is exactly what everyone said when they signed Garrett Hampson, was that, like, this doesn't make a ton of sense because they have Garrett Hampson in the aggregate for cheaper. Right? Like, they have Nick Lofton and they have Drew Waters and they have all these other guys. It's like, we have Garrett Hampson in the aggregate. Why are we signing Garrett Hampson, who is actually, we have better than Garrett Hampson in the aggregate, probably. Like, and so it didn't make a ton of sense as a signing to begin with.
Yeah. And then we went out and did it again. We got a better version of Garrett Hampson called Adam Frazier. I know he doesn't play center, but he plays left. He plays third. He plays second. Like, we don't need him to play short, because Michael Garcia is a better shortstop than all those guys. So what he does. He just doesn't seem like he fits on this roster right now. And that's got to be tough for Garrett.
It just reminds me of that Office Space quote where he's like, what would you say it is? What would
you say do here? You do here. I bring the specs to the people. They don't have people skills. Right?
Like, that's Garrett Hampson, right? He's trying to justify keeping his job at this point. That is all we have for you today. We will be back again tomorrow with another longer episode for you. Until then, be good to each other.
And go Royals.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Save big money when you start your next project today at Menards. Convert your current recessed lighting with energy-saving LED downlights from Fight Electric. They're bright and install easily in just minutes. They also go from regular lighting to nightlight mode with just a simple flip of a switch. Save big on all Fight lighting products now at Menards. Shop our lighting options today in-store and on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, didn't see that coming, and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.